Do you like wrestling trivia? Then check out the 5-Star Match Game, the pro wrestling quiz show. I'm Joe Gagne, and every episode, I grill 3 contestants with 5 rounds of power-packed wrestling trivia. We have over 30 evergreen episodes in the archives covering WWE, AEW, Japan, Mexico, and much, 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 much more. Play along at home and check it out today.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Here we go!
You're listening to the Emerald Flow Show on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
Welcome to episode 32 of the Emerald Flow Show. We're a podcast on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. You can follow us on Twitter at Emerald Flow Show. And if you listen to us on Apple Podcasts, leave us a 5-star review. You can even donate to the show at voicesofwrestling.com/donate if you're feeling generous. I'm Gerard Dutrolle here with Paul Vosch. Paul, we've got a new, well, somewhat new opening music.
Yes, exactly. I reached out to the generous Andrew Rich again, and he very much was on board and kind of doing a second version of our theme song. So yeah, thank you very much, Andrew. You're just the best at this, so that's why we knew we were in good hands with you.
We had to remove the themes of certain wrestlers that have retired,
yes.
Allegedly.
Yes, no, it was time for him, for certain people to go, because they're no longer with either of our promotions. But I also felt it was very appropriate to maybe add certain people as well. So one, I think, who has kind of become the mascot of our show, he has been added to the theme song rotation. So yes, Jake Lee is officially in the theme song now.
Big moment for Jake, and big moments for Jake coming up.
Yes, exactly. Mentioned this on the Discord already, but when Jake beats Kaito for the title and we record next, the title for that episode has already been set. So you will find out once that episode comes out.
And if he doesn't win?
I mean, I'll come up with something else, but you know, I mean, actually, you know what, that name would still, like, depending on how he, if he loses, how, like, the way he loses, I think that would still be very appropriate. Or maybe I'll wait until the N1 announcements, or the G1 announcements, maybe, because that's
all right. And so before we start off with Pro Wrestling Noah, let's take a quick trip to the German Wrestling Federation.
Yes, exactly. So it's my life report, because we've been talking a bit about Kyushu Pro as well, and their former champion, Kota Inozaki, as we've talked about before, he's currently on an excursion to Europe, and it turns out that one of his stops on that excursion was actually my very own town, Berlin, Germany, and he actually got a big world title match there immediately, and so I went to the show on Sunday, and I watched him live, and I'm pretty certain I was the only one in the crowd that knew him, but he also immediately got over because, I mean, look at him. Like, just really big, fake boy, and just immediately got fans, like, got some fans on his side. And obviously, he didn't win the title. Like, this was his very first match. and everything. But I think he really did well. I think it, like the match itself, to me, it was kind of reminiscent of like something like a Walter versus Ishii. Just like, you know, like the big dude that chops really hard against like a smaller kind of guy that just wouldn't give up. And also was like able to do some power moves. So I thought like it was Pascal Spalter, who is kind of the top guy in the promotion against Nozaki. And I thought both men did really well. And I would actually recommend people to like go and seek out the entire show. It is up on YouTube for free with English commentary as well, because they also had a really good light heavyweight tournament on the show as well. So I think like if you want to watch some Kodai Nozaki, and if you want to watch some really nice light heavyweight action aside from that, like go and seek out the show.
So I watched the match. I thought it was a nice little match. I'm not completely sold on Spalter. he has some like, you know, just a guy tendencies, if you ask me. I mean, he's not a bad worker, but he doesn't stand out either.
Yeah, no, definitely. He also took a while to win me over as well. But he definitely, at times, he's just not the most exciting guy. But like, I think he just has like a really good connection to the crowd in Berlin. And I think that's something that really helps him. And I think that's
something. Oh, he was very over. Yeah.
Like, I think that like he doesn't always really translate well to other places because he doesn't have that same connection there.
And I actually ended up watching the finals of the light heavyweight tournament just because it was on right after that match. That was a nice little match. I got to say, Peter Tihany.
Yes.
Tons of potential.
Yes.
And then who was the German guy? Tim?
Stubing.
Yeah, he nice little heel.
Yeah, yeah. Itach Bahar is another one that is like he has a very like deep connection with the crowd.
But well, he's debatable whether he's a light heavyweight.
Yes, that too.
But yeah, I liked him too. I mean, because he came in and did all the power spots and everything.
Yeah, yeah. And he's also basically, he has been like the lovable loser basically for like a long time now. So this is like, basically they've built him up for like, I don't know, maybe like 2 years at this point for him to actually like get to this level where he's actually like a believable tournament winner. So like that just felt like a really nice culmination of a long-term story for him to win this tournament.
The match almost lost me when there was that interference from Stubing when they were the final two in the match. But I mean, it sort of recovered because Bahar won over.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that is kind of like Stubing's character right now, where like there's just like a ton of like outside interference and everything, because he's kind of like, I think he's still really, really young as well. Like, I think he's like 20 maybe. And he like just turned heel recently. So he's still kind of getting that heel character over, but like that character already is like super over. Like I think it came across in the finals a bit, but it became even more clear like in his first round match. He faced Crowchester, who was like another like really over baby face, and like he was the guy that won the tournament last year, and like the heat for Stubing in that match was just off the charts. And obviously he won by like cheating and everything. Actually, he didn't even really cheat that much during the finish, but yeah, no, it's like the GWF to me, it's like it's a promotion that like I think a lot of people like should check out more. But obviously my perception of it is obviously skewed because I go there live, so I'm always not quite sure how well things actually come across on the broadcast.
I don't know, I thought there was some good stuff in there. I think the production is pretty decent for an indie of its size.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's actually the guys that run it actually try a bit to get into movies as well. So I think that kind of helps the production quality of the wrestling shows as well.
Right. Yeah, you can sort of tell. Like, they got the graphics are pretty good, and everything, the match graphics and everything. So, yeah, definitely.
I think it helps that they also always run that same venue as well, so they can just kind of really, like, figure out what best works for that setup.
Mm-hmm. So, do you know of any other dates in Europe for Nozaki?
I think he has some stuff coming up in the UK, if I'm not wrong. I think he's like wrestling in like Italy too, and then I think he's going to Malta for.
Of course he is.
Where else would he go? It's the Tajiri connection. So.
Yeah. Exactly. So we move on to Pro Wrestling Noah and Paul. Some pretty big news since we last recorded. Unfortunate news as well. Daisuke Harada has retired now as we record this.
Yeah, that one, I mean, he was out for quite a while, and we hadn't really heard anything since the original announcement that he was injured. So, and the fact that there was no update, at least for Go, who's also been out for a while now, we've gotten somewhat of an update and everything, and he's just hey, yeah, I'm just gonna take a bit longer, but I'll be back. And we hadn't heard anything about Harada since he got injured. So that already felt a bit eerie, and then obviously when the announcement came, and even more so that we'll get to that match, but that can only be a 1 minute retirement match with doctor supervision and everything, was his neck is just fucked. So yeah, it's such a shame. He's only 36 too.
Yeah, sounds this is something that could continue to deteriorate even if he stops wrestling, which is scary.
I'd rather it end this way than we get another Misawa. I think that just would be the worst case scenario. So it's just better for him to just, take time off and like I said, it could deteriorate even if he stops wrestling, but who knows? He's still only 36, so still time for him, and let's see what him not really doing any physical, hard physical activity will do for him as well. I'm not a doctor, so obviously I don't know, but he wouldn't be the first guy that had a really scary neck injury that after 5, 6, 10 years is actually able to come back just with enough time off. So, I have no idea if that's even possible for him, but it just would be a shame if this was the end, because I think he had so much more to give.
I guess we'll skip ahead a bit, and I'll say this was not a grandiose full retirement ceremony. Just the other Noah Juniors were around the ring and he was wrestling and everything. So it felt if he can come back one day, he will.
Yeah. Because he's 36 and just the way he moved around just in that 1 minute, it's very clear that the only thing that is stopping him from wrestling is his neck. Everything else is still working perfectly.
Yeah. Yeah, he did a handspring in the match.
Yeah, exactly. I was oh, holy shit. Okay, I did not expect him to do a handspring. And the way he was running around the ring as well. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So it's really weird that he's only 36 as well. He's a guy that has been around forever.
Yeah.
But I think he started just really, really early.
Yeah, 2006, I think. So he's been wrestling almost 17 years.
Yeah, he's another guy Nakajima, where basically oh yeah, he's only in his mid-30s now. Despite the fact that it feels been watching him for nearly 20 years at this point.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's it's wrestling, can almost feel blessed that stuff this doesn't happen more frequently just due to the nature of the sport, but that still means it still sucks when it happens. And at least in this case, it was caught.
And it certainly leaves a big hole in the Noah Jr. division. He was the best one.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think that's very fair to say that he was easily the best junior in the entire division. I think that's somewhat obviously nothing is undisputed ever, but I feel that's feels very much regardless of what type of Noah fan you are, I think the general consensus is that Harada was the best junior in the promotion.
I mean, either him or Kotoge, I think.
Yeah, really. I mean, probably could count Ogawa in that bracket still as well.
Yep.
Yeah, no, it's really big hole, and I'm just about Kotoge as well, he's kind of, I would assume, would take over now, but I want to talk about this a bit later, but I might as well just touch on it now. I think it wouldn't be the worst idea with Harada gone now if Kotoge tries moving up to heavyweight again. I know that failed last time, but with Harada gone, what is there really for him to do in the junior division at this point? He's kind of done everything.
Yeah, and he's around the same age. I think he's 37.
Yeah, so I feel if he wants to try one more time to be a heavyweight, it's now or never, and he's definitely tall enough to do it in Noah.
Yeah,
because I
don't know.
Because in that main event match, I just saw him across from Jake, and I'm Jake obviously is way taller, but he's way taller than anyone else in the promotion, and Kotoge didn't look like a junior next to Jake, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So I don't know. We'll see, but I'm not sure this is necessarily Junta Miyawaki going back to Mexico, Harada retiring.
Yeah,
I don't know. It could be a long summer.
Time to put the title back on Hayata.
So
yeah, no, we'll it would be really dire if Amaxa was there, but we'll get
oh god, yes, yeah. So we start off with NOAA Star Navigation 2023 from Cork and Hall. 1,310 fans, Paul. This is what, their biggest since like January 2020.
Yeah, yeah. Like this is a really big win, I think, for them. Like it's
this has got to be a Harada bump, right?
I definitely think his retirement bumps it up, but I also don't know if Harada is like the level of, because this is like what, more than 400 people. Like it's like
500
people more than the previous Corican, right? And we already considered that one to be a good number. So I don't know if Harada, even if he retires, is that level of draw that his retirement would draw 500 additional people to Corican. Like I think he definitely like added to the number, but I'm just struggling to really quantify how much he actually added to this. So I think even regardless of the Harada retirement, we probably would have seen a pretty good number at the show on a midweek Corican as well, with kind of a nothing card really.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I guess we'll have to wait till the next Corican.
Yeah, we have to wait until the next Corican. I think also, I mean, obviously the big litmus test now is like the Yokohama show. So
yeah, for sure.
I think if that number is also like looking good, I think then we can make a better judgment. But at the very least, the very first, like if this is just a bounce and it's just counts like caused by the Harada retirement, then okay. But maybe this is also the first sign of a positive trend. But again, we can't say that for sure until we know what they draw in Yokohama.
Right. So then we start off with the first match. The Congo team of Tsuji Kondo, Tadasuke, and Hajime Ohara defeated Kenya Okada, Yasutaku Yano, and Taishi Ozawa in 5 minutes when Tadasuke used a swinging lariat on Ozawa. Good opener. Fast-paced action. There's not much more to say about it, though.
Yeah, I mean, it was basically everyone tagged at once, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, there wasn't more time for that than anyway. Like, even by the like standards of an opener, this was really short.
I will say Ozawa's looking much better, just the way he looks when his hair is growing out.
Yeah, I think he's also starting to, it gets noticeable that he's in the dojo now and actually, like, starting to eat that chunko and doing the workout routines. Because I think, once he fills out that frame, like I said, he is going to be Noah's, like, next big, like, heavyweight project. And maybe it will work this time.
Maybe. We'll see. And then next up, the team of Super Crazy Extreme Tiger and the debuting Lancelot defeated Yohei, Seki Yoshioka, and Alejandro in 6 minutes and 23 seconds when Lancelot pinned Yoshioka with the Lancelot Fly. Okay, so Paul, I woke up and I looked at like the Voice of Wrestling Discord and I saw people talking about Lancelot botching. I'm not saying he's the smoothest wrestler ever, but I didn't think he was that bad.
Okay, but like basically his first move was just a massive botch. Like that
okay,
really
fine,
didn't help.
Yes.
I don't know. Like I also didn't think he looked really that impressive, like when he like was wrestling normally. And I also didn't think he got over at all, because there's definitely been like luchadors that they have brought in that got over immediately in front of the Korakuen crowd, and there was just absolute silence when he won. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe, you know, given time, he'll do better, but I don't think this was a really good debut.
And is he Super Crazy's nephew? Is that what I heard?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we can figure out how that happened
as well.
Okay. Yes. So I just clicked on it when I saw it pop up on Wrestle Universe, and I didn't realize it clicked on the Japanese commentary. And I just watched the show in Japanese commentary because I'm like, nah, I've only got a couple. I don't have that much time to watch it, so I'm just going to not go back and change it.
Yeah, okay. Well, okay, Stuart Fulton also wasn't there, so
okay,
definitely missing. No, but yeah, they mentioned that as well. Yeah, no, he is Super Crazy's nephew. That actually caused me to say that if we have to do a nepotism, I'd rather just have Wagner's brother instead.
Yes, that's a good nepotism. And I figure that Lancelot's probably going to challenge Amaska.
Yeah, because they have a match on the Yokohama show.
Yeah. So, and then next up, we talked about this mostly, Daisuke Harada retirement match, 1 minute exhibition time on the draw. I mean, Harada just came out with a flurry of offense and forearms, did the handspring, and then looked like he was going to give Katoki a German suplex, but then just let him go and didn't do it.
Yeah. No, best retirement match
expired
of the year.
Oh, absolutely.
No, I felt like in a weird way, like it was a sad moment, like because Kotoga was just bawling his eyes out the entire time. But it felt weirdly like because there was so much energy to it, you know, like that's why it felt somewhat of a celebration of Arada.
Yeah.
So it was kind of nice. Like it really made the best out of like bad circumstances.
Absolutely. So it was as good as you could have done under the circumstances that he even got to wrestle for 1 minute.
Yeah. Yeah. Which seems like based on what he has, like you really shouldn't even have done that.
I wish the camera had panned to the doctor when he did that handspring.
No, but did you see on his way out, he shook Taichi Ozawa's hand?
Yes, I did see that.
So, you know, I feel like that's somewhat of a sign that, like, there's people in a promotion that, like, no, like, they're going to try and make this guy a guy.
Yeah. And then next up, Sugera-gun. Takashi Sugera, Kazuyuki Fujita, and Hideki Suzuki defeated Naomichi Marafuji, Misaki Mochizuki, and Shuhei Taniguchi in 12 minutes and 59 seconds through a referee stop when Sugera made Taniguchi pass out in a front net lock. I thought this was pretty good, actually, and I thought Suzuki and Mochizuki, of course, worked very well together. But we got to talk about what's going on with Suzuki's hair lately. Has he got like a perm or something?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with that. Look,
he looks like, goofy, if you ask me.
He looks really goofy. Like, I don't know why he like decided to do like change his hair. I thought he had like a pretty good haircut before, but now he's like.
I mean, it worked for him in his gimmick, just like the straight laced guy with like the shortcut.
Yeah.
Now he's all like curly and whatever.
Yeah, it's kind of
with dark. The bangs.
Maybe he's trying to join Funky Express.
Maybe.
I mean, they have a match at the Yokohama show.
That's true. So yeah, I mean it was solid action, as you can expect from all of these guys, and hitting each other really hard and stuff like that.
And maybe kind of low-key have like a feud, somewhat of a little feud going between Suzuki and Taniguchi.
Yep.
Because like they've kind of had like quite a few matches going back and forth, and they had that singles match as well, and they go hard against each other, like because it's like fourth from the top, from the bottom, and they just kind of go really hard. Like same on the finish. Like I mean, say what you want about Taniguchi, but like he gives us all in these matches. Like on that finish as
absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely.
Like I thought he sold that like neck lock from Segura really well.
If anything, Taniguchi. Well, there'll be more space for Taniguchi on these cards, which is good.
Yeah. Which and I don't think did Fujita tag in because I don't remember a single thing he did.
He was briefly in there. Yeah. He was wrestling against Marafuji.
Yeah, I feel like if there's one guy from these like Muto friends, like because I feel like Suzuki feels like a guy that's gonna stick around, but I think like Fujita might not be much for much longer for this promotion.
Does he have a contract? Because I think it's probably as long as that lasts.
Did sign a contract last year, I think. But not, okay. I mean, I don't know when though. Like, normally it's at the beginning of the year, but maybe he signed it a bit later in the year because I think he signed it after he won the belt.
Yeah. Or, okay.
Yeah, something like that. So it might be that he's hanging around until that contract expires and then he's out of there.
It feels like they're not doing anything with him. He doesn't have any direction, which honestly I think is good.
Yes, I mean, it's almost like the one guy that was like advocating for him is like pretending to be retired right now.
Did you see that Muto like gave a talk at that Jinsei Senzaki like 30th anniversary show on Michinoku Pro, and he was like, well, Kokushi Muso has never actually retired.
It's like, it's basically like I would have expected him to at least wait like a couple of months until he does something like that, but he literally waited until like the pay-per-view was like until like to his retirement show was off of pay-per-view and just on Wrestle Universe normally, which means that he has stopped now directly benefiting from that show, and he's like, well, time for me to tease my return
in Michinoku Pro of all places.
Look, I mean, at this point, you know what, buddy, just I mean, I don't, he's obviously not gonna have as much time Onita to do like the like continuous like the like just diminishing returns on retirement shows, but you know he can at least get two or three more retirements in there.
He can pop like 2,000 people in like Sendai or Iwate.
Yeah, and Okay, what do we think, like, where will he bottom out in terms of, like, retirements? Like, what will be, like, is it going to be in, like, Shinki, like, his, like, last retirement? Like, is that actually going to be in, like, Shinjuku phase?
I feel like he would try to at least wrestle in Korakuen, and I feel like he wouldn't even bother unless it was really dire.
Yeah, okay, yeah, fair enough.
But if he can fill Korakuen, he'll do it.
Oh, yeah, no. But that's, like, 2-3 retirements down the line, so I think we have a little more until then.
And then next up, the Kongo team of Kenno, Katsuhiko Nakajima, and Manabu Soya defeated Masa Kitamiya, Daiki Inaba, and Yoshiki Inamura in 12 minutes and 11 seconds when Soya used the jumping DDT on Inaba. Again, solid stuff. Your good old Noah six-man, and of course it was building to the tag title match on the 18th.
Yeah. Well, the one thing that I noticed immediately with this match was like, oh, hey, that's everyone that's involved in the All Japan angle. In one match. I wonder if something will happen here with that. And lo and behold, after the match, who comes out?
But it's Naoya Nomura and Yuma Aoyagi.
Exactly. So yet another time where Kenno fails to prevent people from just waltzing into a Noah show without paying.
He's getting soft.
Yeah. But yeah, so then they cut a promo on each other. And it seems like that if Kenno and Soya win the titles at the Yokohama Budokan show, they will come to All Japan and challenge for the World Tag Team titles there. And Kenno also said that he wants to unify the belts too.
So, I mean, that's giving away the result on the 18th, right?
What I said as well, because now that doesn't make sense if Inaba and Kitamiya win. Like, that just destroys the whole story and it makes Kenno look like a goober. But I guess maybe you can make the story that Kenno is already like thinking about the next match.
But okay, so why couldn't Kenno and Soy have just beaten Kojima and Sugera? Like, did Kojima really have to get out of there past that date?
I guess
actually they lost the tag titles before the dome. They could have, they just could have put the belts on them earlier. I don't know, it just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it is weird. I mean, it's still like, I think Kitamiya and Inaba are still like, even if they're just transitional champions, it's fine. But yeah, it definitely feels a bit weird that they just had to immediately like pull the trigger on that then. But it, like, to me, at least it gives the result in Budokan away.
Yeah, but Paul, well, we'll get into this later, but who knows who's going to be challenging at Oda Ward for the All Japan World Tag Team titles.
I mean, I would assume it's going to be Kenno and Soya, right?
Well, someone else, another team later to challenge.
Hmm? Already?
Oh, yeah. Suwama challenged with him in Kono.
Oh, yeah, right. After the Shinkiba show. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that might also be very funny if basically Kenno is just like, yeah, it's going to be Kongo versus Nomuyagi, and then they both like lose their title matches.
Yeah, so we'll see what's going. I don't think we're going to get a card for Oda Ward until next week.
Yeah.
And so I'm really enjoying the show up to this point. A lot of fun, great action. And then we have Eita defeating Hayata in 3 minutes and 47 seconds in a DQ. Just horrible. Yeah. Although Eita bladed.
Like immediately, like second one of the match.
That like Moxley speed.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I don't think this was even really a match. Like, I think it's a bit of a stretch to even call it a match. Like, it was just like a 3-minute angle, basically. Because it was just Hayata just immediately jumped him when Eita came out and then just beat him up some more with Eita like rolling out of the ring. And like, yeah, and then Hayata just gets DQ'd after just very blatantly like shoving the ref and just hitting Eita with the belt. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, like it's, oh no, like I said, but to me, the thing is, like, they've tried to do so much stuff to, like, get people interested in this junior tag title match, but I just don't care.
Well, I mean, I think what happened next sort of lifted my spirits, because Chris Ridgeway defeated Yoshinori Ogawa in 10 minutes and 20 seconds with an ankle hold. I really enjoyed this.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't, like, super, super high-end, but it was just these guys, like, trying to, like, rip each other's limbs out for 10 minutes, and I really liked it.
Yes, no, I definitely really liked this match. But again, the problem here was it didn't make me interested in the tag title match. It just, what it made me interested or think about is that Noah should just do another Junior Global League or Junior N1 or whatever they're going to call it now. And I would want to see these two have a match on there rather than being like, oh yeah, I wonder if they're going to do this during the title match, because I know the title match is probably going to lean more towards the Eita and Hayata side than really the Rich Ray and Ogawa side.
Yes, because there will be all sorts of angles and stuff in the actual title match.
Yeah. But no, this was really nice. This was really nice.
Yeah, it was good. Next up, good-looking guys. Jay Clean, Anthony Green defeated Kaito Kiyomiya and Atsushi Kotoge in 13 minutes and 47 seconds with a skewered front high kick from Lee on Kotoge. Paul, I've got a lot of thoughts about this match. First off, I think Anthony Green has really improved since his time in NOAH. Secondly, I think this is Jake's best performance in NOAH and best match overall in NOAH so far.
I agree. That was actually my exact thought as well. No, I okay. thought he was really good here. Like, I think he actually like showed some charisma and everything.
He did. And yeah. Especially towards the end.
Like, I think actually in so far this might be one of my favorite Jake feuds in general, just like on based on how much shit he's been talking about Kaito in the press as well.
Yeah. Oh yeah, because he's like, I'm gonna restore honor to the GHC, you know, you can't disrespect this title and everything like that. I mean,
Yeah. I mean, I know it's disingenuous because he's supposed to be a heel. But like in a way he's done more to defend NOAH than Kaito has in like the last 2 years.
Like any good heel, there's a kernel of truth in all of this.
Yeah. Yeah, no, there absolutely is. And I also love him just being like, oh yeah, okay, Kaito, you've done so much now, but for now it's for you. It's time to rest and I will take over for you now.
I mean, not an unrealistic idea, honestly.
No. That's why I locked up Jake beating Kaito, and I'm not wavering on that at all. I think I'm actually more certain that that's going to happen.
Yeah. And then in the main event for the GHC Junior Heavyweight Championship, Amatsuka defeated Hiroki in 12 minutes and 15 seconds with his Kaikoku or whatever that diving thing off the top rope is. I thought this was solid, like, you know, like a 3.5/7 out of 10. Mm-hmm. There was no, like, you know, reinventing the wheel. They got some kickouts, whatever, you know. I guess it was perfectly acceptable main event.
Yeah, I actually really liked it. I don't think it was as good as the draw they did last year in January, because I think that's still my favorite match between these two, because there was some like heat there basically, and they were just beating the shit out of each other for like 20 minutes until they went to a time limit draw. So I thought that match was better, but I think this is probably like my second favorite singles match that they've had, and I think like Hiroki, like, he did a lot better than I thought he did. Like, he really like worked hard to really show that he can like go in a main event.
Yeah.
So I thought this was pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, it was good. I don't know. Maybe something a little more. I was expecting in a main event, but maybe something a little more epic, I guess. But
yeah, but then again, like, kind of have to like know the limitations of the.
Yes, that's true too.
Of the challenger here, so like I said, I thought Hiroki worked hard, but that's still like he's still Hiroki. Like, there's still only so hard he can go.
Yeah.
So I thought like they did well within the limitations of what they were given, or Maxa worked well within the limitations of what he was given here. So yeah, like I said, like I think like he, by far and away, like I really hope he keeps the title for like a lot longer, because like I think there's not really a whole lot like besides him in this division at the moment.
No, he should have a long reign, absolutely.
So yeah, I really hope he holds that belt for a bit longer until, like, I don't know, they can build someone else up properly, or yeah, I actually wouldn't mind if he got a bit more like NOAH Junior chaos a little bit, just to have like a reshuffle basically, because it feels a bit stale at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yep, definitely. And then, so that was that show. Yeah. I enjoyed this show overall. There's only one bad match.
Yeah. No, I thought this was a pretty good show. And I think it really helped to actually have, like, a pretty full Korakuen there as well, with the crowd that made noise.
The crowd was good, absolutely.
Yeah. So, because I think, like, if this had been, like, what they normally draw in Korakuen, like, 600, like, half what they've drawn here, or less than that, I don't think I would have liked this show as much, but like because it was pretty full and it was like really a lot of crowd noise, I think that really helped elevate the show.
Yep, definitely. So from there, we've got a show on the 14th at Yokohama Radiant Hall. Masa Kitamiya versus Manabu Soya. Deki Inaba versus Kenno. Yoshinori Ogawa versus Hayata. And Eita versus Chris Ridgeway. And then Kaito Kiyomiya and Yohei versus Jake Lee and Anthony Green, which I think could deliver again.
Yeah. I'm actually for Eita versus Chris Ridgeway, where I'm like, I look at that match and I'm like, I can't let myself get suckered in, because this match is not what it could be, basically. Because this match could be good, because Eita can be good, but it's not going to be that Eita. But I just look at it and I'm like, but what if it is?
I expect him to cheat and like roll up Ridgeway. That's sort of what I expect, kind of.
Yeah, yeah, and it's going to be like 5 minutes.
And then on March 19th, Yokohama Budokan, Katsuhiko Nakajima versus Kenya Okada.
Yep, that should end in a knockout, but like a worked one this time. But Kenya Okada should win by knockout. He's not going to, but he should.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, what are the realistic chances of him winning?
I would say realistically Nakajima is going to win, but I mean, we were kind of predicting before, right, when we were looking at the N1 and we were like previewing the show and everything, that like we both thought that Kenya was probably going to win this.
Mm-hmm.
So if they still want to do that, then I think it makes a lot of sense to just do that here and then just start the Kenya Okada push.
And then next up, we've got Naomichi Marufuji and El Hijo de Dr. Wagner Jr. versus Jack Morrison, Anthony Green. Could this be setting up a national title shot for a good-looking guy?
Yes, I think that's what they're going to do here. So, but the question is which one, though?
Because well, I feel like if...
Is it going to be Morris?
If it's Morris, does Morris win the title?
Yeah, because if it's Morris, then I feel like he's winning.
And I feel like if it's Green, it's
Whereas
just a...
Green might be the one where...
Well, yeah, if it's Green, it's just another title defense.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, maybe they're going to do like Green first and then Morris comes in and wins the title. But I feel like if Morris is the title challenger, I think he's winning. Like, I don't think he's like losing two title challengers back to back, basically.
And well, given how much they clearly like him.
Yeah.
And then for the G...
Which I think I'm fine with as well, with Morris winning. Like, I've really enjoyed the Wagner reign. But I also feel like Morris is like a guy you can like do
for
something
with. And then for the GHC Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Championship, Yoshinori Ogawa and Eita versus Hayata and Chris Ridgeway. Whatever. I don't know. I hope it doesn't go like 25 minutes.
Yeah. No. I don't even know if I want to do a title change, because I really like I said, there's like parts I don't like about either team, where I kind of don't want them to hold the belts. So I don't even know who I should even cheer for here. Just cheer for Ogawa and Ridgeway to get back together instead.
And then for the GHC Tag Team Championship, Masa Kitamiya and Deki Inaba, the champions, defend against Kenno and Manabu Soya. I mean, I think I'm going to put this as my lock. The Congo team are winning.
Okay. Yeah, I think that feels fair.
Yep. Yeah, probably, I would assume. I still see what the story is if they lose with All Japan.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Like, it doesn't make sense story-wise for them to lose. Like, why set up this whole, like, potential, like, unification match and then just, like, not do it?
Yeah. And that...
Especially because it's, like, it's Masa Kitamiya and Daiki Inaba.
Exactly.
It's fine.
In the hobby, it's not easy being a fan of ripping packs or repacks. We hype ourselves up thinking, maybe I can pull a Ken Griffey Jr. rookie card, but with zero transparency on available cards and hit rates... It's all just a shot in the dark. Until now. Introducing Slab Packs from ArenaClub.com, the only repack that provides real value, a complete view of all possible cards, and clear hit rates for each one. Now, when I buy Slab Packs at Arena Club, it finally feels like I know what I'm getting. I was able to open an Arena Club slab pack, and I'll be honest, it was a lot better than what you normally do. Say you go to a card show, and there's a random innocuous brown bag of cards, and yeah, you can open it, and look, it's going to be junk. You know what I mean? Like, you know what you're probably going to get in those. Maybe you find that fun, and sometimes I do. Sometimes I like just opening up cards and saying, hey, look at some random cards or whatever. But if you're really in this game to find value and find particular cards, it sucks to have to buy these mystery packs, and it ends up being, you know, almost nothing, you know, nothing of value. Not with Arena Club. You can display, again, of all available cards, hit rates, grading. So you know that when you're opening up the slab pack, you are going to get something valuable. You are getting something good. And Arena Club, in addition to having those great slab packs we just talked about, is also a marketplace for card collecting, buying, trading, selling, displaying, all that sort of stuff. But those Arena Club slab packs, man, they are revolutionizing the repack game with transparency. After your pulls are revealed, they'll immediately be placed in your vault for safekeeping or trading and selling, and you can have them officially graded by Arena Club as well. So again, setting these things off, it's going to be officially graded by Arena Club. And the Arena Club grading process is accurate, fast, and transparent, with full grade rationale provided and explanation of how your card was scored. So whether you're buying, selling, trading, or displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform that you have to check out. So right now, I've got a special offer here for Voices of Wrestling Network listeners. You can get 10% off of your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Again, that's arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Now, that's a crazy offer. That's 10% off a $400 slab pack. $40 off right there. 10% off your first purchase. No matter what that purchase is, 10% off. Again, that's arenaclub.com/VOWnet. arenaclub.com/VOWnet for 10% off your first purchase on Arena Club. And we thank them for sponsoring the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. What's going on, guys? This is Rich from the Flagship Podcast here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. If I could have a moment of your time, I'd like to tell you about one of our sponsors, Eufy Video Lock. Eufy Video Lock is a smart lock, a 2K camera, and a doorbell, all 3-in-1, offering you triple security. So you can have everything in one device rather than installing many pieces on your front door. But it's not just for security. The Eufy Video Lock is also for convenience. No more concerns about losing keys, and you can assign passwords to your family members and see them coming back home via the integrated cameras. Some other great features we love about the Eufy Video Lock is it is easy to install and set up with just a Phillips screwdriver, no drilling required. Keyless entry, no more fumbling for keys when your hands are full. You never have to worry about kids losing keys or passing among renters. You also have 0.3 second fingerprint recognition and 1 second unlocking. Again, 0.3 seconds, it's going to recognize your fingerprints, and in 1 second, it's going to unlock. And with the AI self-learning chip embedded, the more you use it, the more accurate it will be. Also, no battery anxiety. You have a rechargeable battery in there that could last around 4 months, and you will get a low battery notification before it runs out. Passcode unlocking, a remote control with a 2K clear sight, see who's at your door, and control from anywhere through the Eufy app. With enhanced night vision, you can have optimized view even in the evening. You can also secure your package delivery by view and two-way audio. And then best of all, no monthly fee. A bunch of other brands out there are going to charge you a monthly fee. You have your recordings locally, and you never have to pay for storage. Customer service, Eufy's got you handled as well. They're on standby for you 24/7, so you can enjoy a worry-free experience with an 18-month warranty, all backed by their professional customer service team. Contact them anytime by telephone, email, or live chat. Personally, as a homeowner, I love my Eufy Video Lock. I have the ability to see what's going on when I'm not home, when packages has arrived, and really the thing I love the most about it, the ease of being able to lock and unlock my doors without having to fumble with my keys and reach in my pocket or wait, no, crap, they're in my backpack, all that sort of stuff. All this is happening while my dogs are barking at me. You know what? Not anymore with the Eufy Video Lock. I touch it. 0.3 second fingerprint recognition, 1 second, door is unlocked. Much, much easier. So if you want to jump on board with Eufy Video Lock, search Eufy Video Lock. That is E-U-F-Y Video Lock. Again, that's Eufy Video Lock, E-U-F-Y Video Lock, or visit eufyofficial.com/videolock to see how you can gain complete control of your door.
And then in the main event for the GHC Heavyweight Championship, Kaito Kiyomiya versus Jake Lee. And, well, Paul, you have your opinion.
Yep. Not wavering on that.
Yep. I still think Kaito's winning. But I think this, well, I mean, first of all, I'm more looking forward to it than I was after today's show. But also, I mean, it's a make or break moment for Jake, really.
Yeah. So, but, yeah, based on what he's done recently, I actually feel like This is the first time in a while that I've actually feel like kind of positive about the direction that Jake is going in. So obviously that is just prime for him to let me down yet again. But if he does it again, then I'm just like actually going to be done. I already said I was done with him, but like this time for sure.
If he blows his first like big title challenge in Noah, yeah. That's not good.
But we'll see. I mean, especially against someone like Kaito, who's like one of the best wrestlers in the world.
Exactly. That's why like I think it will deliver, but you never know.
Yeah. We shall see. They also announced a bunch of undercard matches as well on
Twitter.
Oh,
did they? I did not see.
Yeah, so we also... Yeah, no worries. So we're also going to have Alejandro, Yoshioka, Yohei, and Kotoge versus Ohara, Hiroki, Kondo, and Tadasuke. So, whatever. We're also going to have Takashi Sugiura versus Shuhei Taniguchi in a singles match. Actually could be interesting. But then, the highlight. So we're going to have Mohamed Yone and Yoshiki Inamura versus Hideki Suzuki and, now pay attention, Saxon Huxley.
The Saxon Huxley?
Yes, the Saxon Huxley.
NXT UK of, Saxon Huxley?
Yes. I don't know what an NXT UK is. That sounds fake, so I'm not going to comment on that. However, I do remember him from the WWE UK tournament, or at least I remember he was in it. I don't remember his match.
Okay, then. Yeah. So, I mean, him... Thatcher's done, right? This is why this guy is coming in, right?
Probably. I mean, with Thatcher, you never know. Like, I think if we get reports that he's, like, in WWE as, like, a trainer or, like, something, then I think for sure we can say he's done. Otherwise, I would say if he's not back by the time the N1 rolls around, I think then we can say for sure he's done. Because I think Noah gives people some time in between tours.
That's
sometimes.
True. It's just, I don't know. I just feel like he's ending up in ROH, but we'll see.
That might also be an option. Yeah, so like I said, if he actually gets signed somewhere in America, I think then we can safely say he's done. Until then, I think I'm willing to give it a bit more time and maybe it's just Noah giving him a bit more time off. But with that said, the way he lost it, the Dome very much felt like a write-off.
And then that's it for that show?
Yeah, I think that's pretty much it. I don't see anything else being announced. But yes,
we're okay, so I've never seen Saxon Huxley, and the cage match reviews of him were not good.
No. Like I said, I've only ever seen him in WWE UK. Like, I've actually looked at it as well, and I was like, yeah, he has like 3 progress matches ever, and he has never even worked Ref Pro or like any other like bigger European promotion.
So how did they find this guy? Would Hideki have even met him?
Same way they found Morris.
Well, that's the now I'm wondering if Morris.
They have to have some contact.
Has he worked ICW?
I don't think so. Let me just double check that. Because he's an English guy. Like, he's an England guy. He's not a Scot. So I don't know if he's even... he has worked ICW. I don't know. He worked something called Evolution Wrestling. And Real American Wrestling. In Belgium. And Dragon Pro Wrestling. Which is apparently Welsh. Okay. So yeah, and otherwise just a bunch of like WWE like developmental matches.
Fascinating.
So, yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I'm willing to give him a chance just based on Morris. Like based on that, with Morris, they just brought in a guy that no one really knew, and he just immediately clicked. So we'll see. Like I'm willing to give this guy a chance.
Well, we'll see.
But I also don't remember his match at all. Like I remember that he was that his nickname was like the muscle. Something, the muscle badger.
Oh my god!
Something like that. Oh, the muscle cat. Yeah, that was his nickname. Like that's what I remember. And then he lost in the first round, but I don't remember the match.
So bizarre.
All, so we'll see.
Okay. Well, there we go. So that's Pro Wrestling Noah, and then next up, All Japan Pro Wrestling. But before we get into the shows, Paul, did you see the great UWF tournament show?
No, I haven't gotten around to watching.
Okay,
that
so
yet.
I recommend from that show, watch Dan Tamura versus Takanori Ito and watch Hikaru Sato versus Somo Watanabe. Especially Sato versus Watanabe, I thought was very good.
Okay.
And
that doesn't surprise me that those are good matches.
I'm wondering if Tamura should just bring this gimmick in All Japan. He wore shorts. He wore giant Baba shorts and went bare feet and just grappled. He didn't throw any strikes.
Yeah. I mean, why not? I mean, he's teaming with Sato. Like, I'm surprised that they're not just going to be... He's been teaming with Sato for so long that they should just do something like that. Where they're just like the fucking... like they're just the UWF guys. That's the grappling guy.
Yeah. Tamura's the grappling guy. All right. So we start off with the Excite series at the Nippon Tottor Green Dome Maebashi Sub Arena, drawing 658 fans. The largest crowd for All Japan and Maebashi since 2014. Which I think has got to be a pretty good sign for them.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think this was very obviously like built around like Yuma Anzai. So definitely seems like he's drawing his hometown. I mean, he also like he already got merch and it's also already sold out like immediately.
Yeah.
So I think both of those are very good signs. Good signs and, hey, back-to-back dome shows for certain people in Noah. Certain people in North Japan.
And then, so we start off. We can't escape him. Masada. Rising Hayato and Ryo Inoue defeated Hikaru Sato, Dan Tamura, and Oji Shiba in 14:54 with the Sid Vicious on Hayato from Hayato on Tamura. Thankfully, Masada didn't really stink up this match too much. I thought it was a solid opener.
No. Yeah, but I'm also happy if this is just like a one-off and not like a guy that comes in regularly.
Unless Nozawa really is behind the scenes in All Japan. And they can. Yeah. He's like, well, Noah won't refuses to book him, but I can get you guys to.
Yeah, I mean, as long as maybe he stays in like this kind of like opening match, I'm like, whatever. But I can definitely do without him. Like, I don't think he adds.
Speaking
anything.
Of other people, I could do without Ryuichi Sai, Fuma, and Yoshitatsu defeated Takao Mori, Kotaro Suzuki, and Black Mensa Ray in 10:46 with a cockroach driver from Yoshitatsu on Mensa Ray. I'll say this. It wasn't as bad as I thought because really Sai is just bland, but I just can't stand him anymore.
No. I thought he had but he had some highlights when he was like an All Japan regular, but like by the end, he was just like literally just like a stale piece of white bread.
Oh, God, yeah.
Absolutely.
He wasn't trying.
And he's only gotten worse since then.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, remember the time limit draw they did with him and Shuji Ishikawa?
Yeah, that was a horrible match.
One of the worst matches.
It wasn't, yeah. When I think worse, I think of, like, blowing spots. It was just incredibly, one of the most bland matches I've ever seen, too.
Yeah, well, I think it was so egregious to me because it ended up being a time limit draw and they just did actually nothing.
Yeah.
Like, I actually felt they wasted my time.
Yeah, for sure. Anyway, so we move on to Shuji Ishikawa and Ren Ayabe defeated Shotaro Oshino and Ryuki Honda, Gung Nir of Anarchy, in 9 minutes and 59 seconds with a splash mounted from Ishikawa on Honda. Paul, this is a bit of a surprising result, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. So much for, hey, this is definitely just for like Gung Nir of Anarchy to get back on track to like challenge for a title. But yeah, I think they're a long way away from like another title challenge by now.
Yeah, I could. Do you think that they're being permanently cycled down or do you think that this is something that's going to be done later in the year?
I think they're just kind of keeping them on the down low until they like push them. Kind of. I think like maybe like after the Champion Carnival, I think we might see them get cycled back up again. But I think for now they don't want to push them because they don't want to like have them challenge for the title anytime soon.
I mean, honestly, I would like to see Ishikawa and Ayabe in the world tag title mix. I mean, God, they need someone. They need teams.
Yeah. I think that would work really well, and you can just job out Ayabe at the end of it. And maybe you can also like, if you give him a push and everything, you might be able to like convince Ayabe as well to like come and maybe like full time.
For sure. But I thought this was solid.
Yeah. No, it was a solid match. Otherwise, just. Yeah, a bit of a surprising result.
Next up, Yuma Aoyagi, Naoya Nomura, and Atsuki Aoyagi defeated Koji Doi, Kuma Arashi, and Andy Wu in 14 minutes and 57 seconds when Yuma used the end game on Andy Wu. I had a lot of fun with this match.
Mm-hmm. Also talk about guys not getting pushed, but I mean, well, they're not even regulars anymore. But no, but like this match also made me miss them as well because this was just like really, like as I said, this was just a ton of fun. And I think like, Kuma Doi really like. I think they mix really well.
Yeah, that would be a good match. That would be a good match.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I looked at it as I had a blast with this match. And you could also look at it from your perspective as like, oh, this is just making you miss Kumadoi even more for sure.
Yeah.
But that was solid.
Yeah.
Or more than solid. I thought it was good. Quite good, actually. And then next up, Kento Miyahara defeated Hokuto Omori in 12 minutes and 52 seconds with a shutdown German suplex. Paul, this was great. And I think it had a pretty good reception talking to other people who watched this match. I thought Hokuto worked really hard here. I thought he sort of had some good counters, showed like an aggressiveness towards Miyahara. I think this heavyweight push will work out.
Yeah, I have that feeling as well. I think this was really, like, obviously he wasn't going to win, but I think this was to show that, like, Omori can hang with the top guys in All Japan before the Champion Carnival. And I think they succeeded in doing that. Like, this felt like, despite the fact that he lost, it felt like an elevation for him.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, because he can hang out with the ace.
Yeah, exactly. And like, obviously he's not going to beat him.
No.
Maybe at some point down the line he will, but like not now. No, he has no chance. But at least show that he can hang with Miyahara, and then he's a more believable guy in the Champion Carnival as well.
Yeah. And then the main event. Yuma Anzai triumphant local return special six-man tag match. Yuji Nagata, Yutaka Yoshi, and Yuma Anzai defeated Suwama, Jun Saito, and Rei Saito when Anzai used a German suplex on Jun. Paul, this completely exceeded my expectations and was a ton of fun. It had a great crowd, obviously, behind Anzai and everything. Just like, they knocked it out of the park here, and I didn't think they, well, I didn't think it would be horrible or anything, but it definitely was really good.
Yes. No, I also thought that this was like way exceeding the expectations. And I mean, look, this is how you build up a guy, mm-hmm. right? I mean, you put him in there with like someone like Nagata, you have him face off against the heels in his hometown, and then you give him the win in the main event as well, and just, yeah. So I thought also like this worked really well. Like, it really, like the crowd just helped it a ton as well, because they were just like screaming whenever like there was like a danger of Anzai getting pinned.
Yep, definitely.
Like, they just lost them, and they lost their mind at the finish as well. Like, that just made this whole thing just like so much better.
Oh yeah,
like you just had like an actual like big smile on your face when like Anzai actually got the pin on June there.
Mm-hmm. And so that was that show. I thought it was a good show overall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I enjoyed this one as well. So, and good crowd. So, yeah, we shall see. Like if. Like, I think actually All Japan has a bit of momentum behind them right now, so we'll see if they can actually, like, capitalize on that and, like, Ota Ward.
And then so we move on to the Excite series on February 27th at Shinkiba in front of 171. I think that's... I mean, it was a middle-of-the-week show, so mm-hmm. I wouldn't read too much into that 171.
No. It's also Shinkiba, yeah. Like, it's... even if, like, there wouldn't have been that many more people.
So, to open up, Ryo Inoue and Oji Shiba went to a time limit draw in 10 minutes. This was a good match, but really it was also just to set up the fact that they're going to team up in the Junior Tag Battle of Glory. And that should be a good team. I mean, this tournament,
and
we only have three teams, or not even three full teams, but we've got Inoue and Shiba, we've got Atsuki Aoyagi and Rising Hayato, and then... Naruki Doi and X. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty good field.
So yeah, that's already like shaping up.
Yep.
Yeah. No. But I like Ryo Inoue is super over with the Shinkiba crowd.
Yes, the hardcores.
It's kind of nuts. Mm-hmm. I know it's a very small sample, but like he has them like in the palm of his hands basically already.
Yep. And next up we had Shotaro Ashino and Ryuki Honda defeated Yoshitatsu and Black Mensa Ray in 10 minutes and 26 seconds with the final vent from Honda on Mensa Ray. I actually thought this was pretty good for what it was.
Yeah. Do you think they're going to actually... I mean, now we're talking about that, they're kind of getting downside a little, but do you think they're going to have Gangnia challenge for the All Asia title?
Oh, God, I hope not.
Because they have to get the title over Nita, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that might have been, but yeah, I'm also not really a big fan of that.
No, I'm not either.
I'd rather put it on a site or something like that.
And then next up we had, is this where the angle happened?
I think No, I think it was after the next one,
yeah.
Right?
So the next one has Jun Saito and Rei Saito defeated Takao Omori and Renai Abe in 8 minutes and 59 seconds with a drill-a-hole pile driver from Rei on Omori. Sort of a big win for Rei, pinning, you know, former Triple Crown champion. He's pinned a couple of former Triple Crown champions now, actually. He's pinned Shuji Shikawa and Takao Omori. So, yeah, I mean, I thought this was actually solid, too.
It was solid, but also, like, not super memorable.
No, of course not. But, like, look, I think the Saitos are doing as well as you can expect them to be. I don't think they're dragging things down.
No. They have a very unique style, but I think it works
for
them.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so now the angle. So, you know, Kento had said, you know, at the Dome, like, Masa Kinomiya, come to Shinkiba and wear a suit, yada, yada, yada. So, Kinomiya doesn't show up, but Yoshiki and Amur in his Noah tracksuit does. And then he comes out, cuts a promo, and then Kento comes out, and we're going to get a singles match between them. I'm excited.
Yeah. So, no, that one's going to be a ton of fun. That one's going to be really good. And yeah, I think we were talking about it as well. Like, I think like last year someone asked us who we would send from like one promotion to the other. And I think both of us said that Inamura would be like a perfect guy to send to All Japan.
Yes. And we got him.
Yeah. So that, I think that match has like, obviously Inamura is going to lose, but look, I think this has the potential to be tremendous because Kento will probably like sell his ass off for him and then just beat him. But I think,
yeah, I can imagine now Kento's selling his ass off for like 5 whole minutes, and then like Inamura like charges up to do like some like crazy looking shoulder block from across the ring, and then like Kento jumps up and gets the knee, and then you know that starts the finishing sequence and stuff like that.
It's also going to look crazy when he actually does the shutdown on him as well.
Yeah. For sure.
Because he's a big guy. So, yeah, no, I think, yeah. Also, I have to say, the All Japan tracksuit looks much better than the Noah tracksuit.
You think so?
Yeah, I really like the All Japan tracksuit. I think that one looks great. Mm-hmm. Like, just kind of the muted red and everything.
Yuma wore that really out on the Noah show.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think that one looks really cool. So, I think maybe that's one of the reasons why they like put together this like new home army and put Kento in it as well, so that they can actually like have him like wear like the promotion's tracksuit and everything to really show like we're All Japan.
Mm-hmm. The next,
because I actually have a feeling that maybe because like we already had, like most of the belts are on outsiders, right? So I have a feeling that maybe what they're doing might be that like we have all of these outsiders come into All Japan. And, like, they take all the titles, and then All Japan has to unite to take the titles back. And that might be, like, how, like, for example, like, Suwama turns face again.
Right, yeah, for sure.
And then they all come together, they beat all of the outsiders, win their titles back, and then they go from there with whatever story they have planned.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And then next up, we have Minoru Suzuki, Naruki Doi, and Hokuto Omori defeating Kento Miyahara, Kotaro Suzuki, and Rising Hayato in 12 minutes and 16 seconds with a Gotch-style piledriver on Suzuki. From Suzuki on Hayato, somewhat perplexing for Hayato to take the pin, but I guess who else was going to, even though he's challenging for the titles. But it also set up Kotaro Suzuki turning on Hayato after the match. I thought the match was pretty good, though. I mean, how could you go wrong with these six guys?
No. And then freaking Jun Akiyama has the gall like a couple of days later in DDT to talk about Kotaro Suzuki and be like, oh yeah, you were in a place where like some people turned on you all the time. And it's like, he just turned on someone 2 days prior. Like, come on.
Whenever Suzuki and Kento are in the ring together, there's like a palpable energy.
Yes. No, definitely. And also like, I also thought like people when Hayato was like getting hit with the Gotch style pile driver, they were also like, I feel like the crowd actually felt shocked that he was going to lose
here. For sure. So I don't know. Was that Suzuki just going to team with Doi? Like,
I would. Well, it would be more like the heavyweight team would be Suzuki and Omori.
No, sorry. I mean, is Doi and Kotaro going to join team in the?
Sorry. Yeah,
in
Suzuki
the junior
and,
tag.
Yeah, this is where this gets confusing. Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. But I feel like if that was the case, they would have just aligned immediately. But I mean, look, I'm not against the Naruki Doi Kotaro Suzuki team. I think that would be really cool.
The grumpy veterans.
Yeah. But it could also be that, like, they bring someone else into Team of Kotaro.
Well, that's fine, too. Yeah, I mean, this could be a very, actually, like, good lineup for this tag league.
Yeah. No, I think it has a potential, like, because I feel like maybe we're going to get, might get some, like, great representation in the tournament as well. Mm-hmm.
And then next up, we had Yuma Aoyagi defeated Suwama by DQ in 12 minutes, 7 seconds. This wasn't very good. It was a Suwama.
This was a 12-minute angle.
Yeah, it was a 12-minute angle of Suwama just beating up Yuma and getting DQ'd because he hit a couple backdrops on Yuma and then was just like, "I'm gonna grab a chair," even though I could just pin him right here.
Yep.
So stupid.
I mean, he should have also gotten disqualified like 3 minutes
well,
into the
yes,
match.
Yes, of course. And then after the match, he challenged for him and Kono for the world tag titles.
I mean, I really don't know why this had to be 12 minutes. I mean, I didn't like the angle at the Noah show either, but at least that was only 3 minutes, not 12.
Yeah, this is definitely All Japan reverting to the worst of last year.
Yeah, like that's why I really hope that this whole thing like with Suwama will be done soon because, yeah, this isn't very good. Like this is, like isn't enjoyable either.
No.
Like this isn't even like a fun beatdown. No. It's just really slow and boring, and then Wada 5 times reprimands him, takes stuff out of his hands, and it still doesn't DQ him.
Yeah. Oh, God. And then in the main event, Shuji Ishikawa, Atsuki Aoyagi, and Yuma Anzai defeated Yuji Nagata, Hikaru Sato, and Dan Tamura in 18 minutes and 46 seconds when Ishikawa pinned Sato with the Splash Mountain, which was a bit of a surprise. Mm-hmm. But I thought this was great. I thought Ishikawa and Sato especially were great together.
I think Sato is like a guy that kind of works really well with big guys.
Yes, he is.
Because he kind of has a style that is actually believable for him to take down a bigger guy as well. But then he can obviously also like sell really well when like the bigger guy gets the upper hand on him as well.
So this was another... and I thought Anzai and Tamura actually kind of worked well together too. This is like another really strong main event, I thought, for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, definitely. I'm actually looking forward to a bit more to like Ishikawa versus Nagata, but I'm still a bit apprehensive of how good that match is going to be.
We'll see. I mean, Nagata brought it against Kento. Now Ishikawa was not Kento and he's older now, but I don't know. I think it'll still be good. I really do.
Yeah. I have that feeling as well, but you know, I'm just a little bit hesitant because there is also a possibility that the match just falls apart really badly.
Yeah, I mean, you can't rule that out either. So that was the two most recent shows from All Japan. I thought they were pretty good overall, with a couple of caveats, as we talked about, like Yuma and Suwama. But, you know, I think everything is building well, but we'll see where everything pays off. So just quick previews. On March 14th at Shinjuku Face Stream Power Series, Paul, the most prestigious titles in professional wrestling are returning. Have you seen this, Paul?
Yep. Sorry, I think you cut out there.
Have you seen that the most prestigious titles in professional wrestling are making their return on this show?
Yes, of course they are. The All Japan 6-man tag time titles.
The All Japan.
Which we haven't seen since the Yoshitatsu Kingdom fell apart.
The All Japan TV 6-man tag team championship.
Oh, TV, yes, sorry.
Decision match, ATM, Takao Omori, and Black Mesa Ray.
Of course he's involved in that.
Yeah. And Black Mesa Ray versus Black Tiger, Yusuke Kodama, and Masao Hanabata. Oh, yikes. Paul, I would hope ATM team wins, right? They got to win, right?
Yeah. You know what? Actually, I'm going to lock that one up. I'm going to lock up the ATM team here.
Okay.
Because, yeah, it's like he has to have paid for the bells, right? For them to actually make the bells.
That's
like,
what I think, yes.
Bells. Because he's involved in like half the matches.
Yeah. So funny. Oh, God. But yeah, I mean,
look, why not? Like, if a guy just comes up to you and is like, I'm going to pay for the
oh,
bells,
for sure. I mean, you need to do that when you're, like, yeah, sure, you need to do that when you're a company the size of All Japan. Just give your money mark some trios titles.
Yeah. Okay, then what are the odds that he's also the guy that wants Black Tiger to be booked? Because I don't really see why, like, another reason why he's there.
Yeah, it's very possible. Let's just say that. I don't know how what this match will be like. I mean, technically it could be fine, but Black Tiger's always a question mark.
Yeah.
And then next up, Shotaro Ishino and Ryuki Honda versus Jun Saito and Rei Saito. Paul, I love their match at Korakuen Hall last September for the World Tag Team titles. I'm looking forward to this again.
Yeah. But I also feel like the Saitos are going to win this one.
You think so?
If what we're saying that... I mean, if... Like I said, I just feel like they're kind of like not really getting pushed super hard right now, Ganga.
Yeah, well, the Saitos don't feel like they're really getting pushed either.
Yeah, but I mean, this could also just be like a DQ or something
like that.
That's
very true, too.
Are they in the same... Yeah, right, because Ishino and Honda aren't in the same block.
No.
Like, do we know what the opening matches of the...
No, we don't.
Because, yeah, maybe that set something up for that, but I feel like we're still too far away from that.
Yeah, but I'm looking for, hopefully it'll be, well, I'm not sure if it'll be as good as their tag title match, but I think it could still be a lot of fun. And then next up.
Yeah, and the Saitos weren't heel then either.
Oh, that's true. Officially heel. Yeah. Then next up, Yuma Aoyagi, Naoya Nomura, and Atsuki Aoyagi versus Oji Shiba, Yuma Anzai, and Ryo Inoue. I mean, this will rock, I think.
Yeah, this will be a banger, I feel.
Yep. And then Tsuji Ishikawa versus Hokuto Omori. Is this going to be another display to see how much Omori can hang in there with the big dog?
Yeah, I feel like, and it's another one where like he doesn't have a chance of winning because it's up against a guy that is going to challenge for the title on.
Of course, yeah. But I mean,
yeah. But I feel like this is another like the trial series of Hokuto Omori.
Yeah. And then next up, Kento Miyahara versus Yoshiki Inamura. I mean, we've already talked about this before. My only concern is, Paul, that I believe, and let me just double check here, that this is third from the top. Let me just double check. Mm-hmm. No, it is not. It is the second from the top. So where I think they'll get some time.
Yeah, I think in that case, yeah, they will actually definitely get some time there. And I actually thought about locking this one up, but to me it just doesn't pass the Inamura test because I don't think Inamura has a chance of winning.
No. And then we've got the special six-person tag match, Suwama, Mayumi, Ozaki, and Maya Yukihi versus, well, we knew Unagi Sayaka. But then, obviously, Yoshitatsu, because he was like involved in the angle. And I am laughing so hard because Unagi continually calls Yoshitatsu a weirdo on Twitter.
I mean, she's not
wrong. No, she's not. And then the third member is Saki from Colors, also of Cosmic Angels. She is a freelancer in Stardom. Paul, does this make Yoshitatsu an honorary Cosmic Angel?
Probably. I mean, why not? I actually know Saki mainly from her stuff in Gata Move.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because I've seen like her title reign there and everything. So that's why I'm familiar with her. But yeah, so Saki is the third man. But whose side is she on?
Whose side is she on? Is there some sort of dissension angle that I missed here that could be pushed?
Oh. No. Sorry. It's just because someone said she's the third man.
Oh, okay.
So now in my head, I've convinced myself she's going to turn, even though there's literally no reason for that to happen.
Yeah, I assume Suwama pins Yoshitatsu in this, right?
Yeah, probably. Like, I don't really feel like... Because that way they can also continue the angle with, like, Unagi and Suwama and everything, because I don't feel like that one's done yet.
Yeah.
And that probably will set up something for the Evolution show as well.
I would assume so, since they only have three matches.
Yeah.
I got to say, I don't think this will turn out as well as the previous intergender trio match.
No. That one was a bit more exciting. This one is like...
Unagi... Well, I don't know anything much about Saki, but... And I like Unagi, but she's not Chihiro or Yu.
No, definitely. Like it's same for Saki. Yeah. Like, I think Saki is good, but she's not on that... Not on that level.
No. So I would expect maybe even more shenanigans than that last match, which had plenty of shenanigans.
Yeah. No, for sure.
And
I might even suspect because, like, this is then third from the top,
yep.
I guess. I could also see this go relatively short and it's just like an angle, basically.
That's true, too. Does Suwama take an Unagi frog splash?
After the match or during
the match? Well, during the match. Or at any point. At any point.
I think they're going to tease it, but I don't think they're going to do that here. I think they might do that on the Evolution show.
Okay. All right. We'll see. I have, like, I don't think it'll be bad. I have somewhat faith that it will turn out okay if they just have another wild brawl.
No, I mean, if there's someone in wrestling who is great at shenanigans, it's Ozawa.
Exactly. And so there's that. Paul, do you think that Maya Yukihi couldn't do a clean job to Julia because she had this match coming up?
Yes, obviously. That's the reason.
Exactly.
It's like, no, sorry, brother. I can't take the pin. I can't take the pin here. I have a six-man tag coming up in Shinjuku Face.
Yeah. And then the main event for sure for the PWF World Junior Heavyweight Championship. Naruki Doi makes his first defense against Rising Hayato. And I think it's safe to have high expectations on this.
Yeah. No, I think this has the potential to be really good. Like, I'm a big fan of Naruki Doi. I think Hayato has, like, grown a lot. So, yeah, I think, especially because this is the main event as well, they're going to get some time. Like, I think this has the potential to be, like, really, really good match.
Yeah. And
but Doi's winning.
Yeah. And given that someone from Noah show up on this show, Kitamiya, maybe, after the match or seconds. Oh, yeah, he wants, I'm pretty sure Kenta wants Kitamiya to second him in Imura.
Yeah. And we might also see, like, some people pop up after the Nomiyagi six-man tag.
Yep.
So, because that might be where we get the title challenge for Ota Ward.
Right. Well, the title challenge has already happened.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I keep forgetting. Maybe my mind is just like, I don't want that match to happen, so I just keep blocking it out.
Right. But I would assume that we get the Ota Ward show immediately after the show because, well, it's only a week away after the show.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I know we try and sell tickets based off Yuji Nagata and, like, Shuji Ishikawa. We kind of need to announce the rest of the card if you want to sell some tickets here.
Yeah. And then, well, we went over the Great versus All Japan show on the last episode. So I don't want to completely rehash that again. But
I think it's fine.
Do you have any other feelings about going into that? Do you think Great's going to lose every match now, given how things turned out at that UWF tournament?
Maybe.
No.
Well, I mean, Dan lost. Like, I've seen the results, right? Yeah. Like, Dan lost, right?
That's true. Yeah. That's true. But I'm still looking forward to that show. I think it'll be good.
Yeah, no. I think the match will be. But I definitely feel like All Japan is going to win the majority of the matches.
I think T-Hawk wins that eight-man, though.
Yeah. No. That one, I think.
Because T-Hawk's going to have
like
to.
Like I said, the opener and everything.
Because T-Hawk's going to have to do some jobs in the Champion Carnival.
Yes.
So he'll get the. I think Great might get the big win.
Oh,
there.
When do you think we're gonna get in? Like, you think we're gonna get the announcements of the X's at the Ota Ward show?
For the X's?
Yeah.
Yes. Or maybe after Shinjuku.
Yeah, because that feels like. Because I don't know if there's like anything else big enough to do that afterwards. Before the carnival starts.
No, there's not. Because there's like a Shinkiba show on like the 27th or something.
Yeah, and they're not going to do that there.
No, it's either at Ota Ward. I would just do it. If Masa Kitamiya is in the carnival, just announce him as the X right after the Shinjuku show, because I'm sure that there's going to be an angle on that show.
Yeah, I mean, they might also just split it and basically announce like Kitamiya at the Shinjuku show and then announce whoever the other person is at Ota Ward.
That's very true, too. Because I think the other person's probably Kongo.
Probably, yeah. Unless it's Kojima.
That's true. I forgot about that. But would Kojima just show up at
Ota
Ward?
It might also be a Congo person.
Would Kojima just show up at Ota Ward, I would assume?
Yeah, because you can totally do that there.
Yeah.
I mean, it might also... I mean, okay, I know now we're like getting a bit too far into the weeds, but... Because I'm also thinking, like, because we're wondering, like, it doesn't make sense, like, for Kano to do all this challenging stuff and then he just loses. But what if he just loses at the Yokohama Budokan, and then he basically just goes, like, well, fuck this tag team stuff, I'm just going to... be in a Champion Carnival instead.
I would be perfectly fine with that.
So, because that way it's like, okay, I tried to do this tag team stuff that didn't work. Okay, now I'm just going to be in the carnival. Now I'm just going to coming for you directly.
Yep, definitely. All right. And then, so obviously, Ota Ward's still just Yuji Nagata versus Shuji Ishikawa announced. Paul, any final thoughts? I think both promotions are trending in good directions.
Definitely. Like, I definitely feel a bit more positive about Noah after that number.
Yeah.
It's just, we shall see if that holds up long term. But I think the first sign is good, and then yeah, they definitely go in right direction still.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and they're now like crossing, the streams are being crossed as they're crossing over into each other, which is definitely not something I ever expected when we started this podcast.
No, same, because they felt very much like completely separate. Because
Akiyama had left. Universes. And he was the guy.
I mean, especially because of obviously, like, there's been a more or less complete turnover and everything, and I don't think there's really any bad blood. But, like, still, like, the foundation of Noah is literally fucking over all Japan.
Well, yes, right. Now, if Kaido bombs, they might need Kento's star power. Noah might need Kento's star power.
Yeah. So, you know, like I said, it would be the absolute massively funniest thing ever if Jake is like, I'm out of here, guys. He just waltzes into Noah and it's just, hey, so what's the plan for Noah? And he's like, well, actually, we're going to do this big inter-promotional angle with All Japan. And we're going to put the title on you, but then you need to lose the Kento Miyahara. And it's just...
I mean, look, I'm not joking. I think putting the GHC title on Kento is like something that should be considered.
Yeah.
I mean, who else is there other than Kaito right now to really carry that title?
And Noah? Incredibly. No one really. Yeah. And Noah, like, no, Noah's like...
Main well, it depends when Go comes back, I suppose.
Like, you could always heat up Kano.
Yeah.
Like, Nakajima just feels completely, like, not a guy that should be, like, holding the top title at the moment.
Right.
Otherwise, Nomura Fuji obviously doesn't have any interest in that. I guess Sugura, but that's also kind of a
boring
choice.
It's when Go returns. But look, I mean, there's money in a Go versus Kento feud too, I think.
Yeah.
And honestly, I would do something like put the Triple Crown on Kenno and put the GHC on Kento.
Ooh. Yeah, that would be a spicy pick.
You know?
Hmm?
I think Kenno.
And then you do like a big like thing like sometime over the summer. I mean, there is still Cyber Fight Festival coming up.
Yeah, but are they going to do like All Japan versus Noah on that?
I did that All Japan versus New Japan on that last time.
Yeah, so we'll see. Anyway, things are looking pretty good, and I think we're going to get some even more, I don't know, spicy developments in the next couple of weeks when we record it next. So for Paul Vosch, I'm Gerard DiTrollio, and we'll see you in about 2 weeks.
My name is Tyler Fornes, and I am one of the co-hosts of The Good, The Bad, and The Hungi AEW podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcasting Network. We take a broad scope approach to the world of All Elite Wrestling and the entire universe of Tony Khan. We talk about the big matches, the big stars, the promos, the storylines. And we also look at it from a big picture perspective. How are things going to change over the course of the next 10 years with AEW still in the picture? How are companies like WWE going to adapt and adjust to AEW? Are they going to be a similar way like they did with WCW in the late 1990s? Will there be a counterpunch? We talk about all of that and more on The Good, The Bad, and The Hungi every week on the Voices of Wrestling Network.